Officials in New Haven, Connecticut are teaming up with the state's Mental Health Mobile Crisis Unit to develop an emergency response alternative to police. Dr. Mayel Dalal is Community Services Administrator for the city. Dalal says the partnership with the state will help guide listening sessions with community members.
That's the process we'll be launching over the next 6 months for those who are most impacted, those who have experienced homelessness, those who have substance use disorders, mental health issues, all of which may be potential beneficiaries of this service. We want their extensive input before we have a team on the ground.
Dalal says he hopes by September, people calling 911 about a crisis that doesn't require a police presence will get help from a social worker instead. Dalal says the change New Haven residents have been asking for the most is a crisis response team.
You're listening to C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region.
Coming up, nursing home workers in Connecticut plan to strike tomorrow. The first teen in the state got the vaccine, and are there politics at play in the investigation of Governor Cuomo?
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone.
Union officials say more than 2,800 workers at over two dozen nursing homes across Connecticut are ready to hit the picket line at 6 a.m. tomorrow if their demand for higher wages and increased staffing is not met. WSHU's Ebang Udama reports the state has a contingency plan to deploy the National Guard to help monitor care.
Pedro Zayas is a spokesman for the union, SEIU District 1199, New England. He says they are prepared to widen the strike if they fail to reach a deal.
A second set of strike notices were sent to be effective on May 28th at 6 a.m. That one covers 13 facilities and over 1,200 workers.
The workers want an increase in starting pay from about $14 per hour to $20 per hour. Governor Ned Lamont had offered $16.50 per hour earlier in the week, but that was rejected. The state is the primary source of funding for nursing homes because most long-term care is paid for by Medicaid. Ebang Udama, WSHU News.
A 13-year-old boy from Shelton was the first in Connecticut of his age group to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. WSHU's Roberto Rojas reports vaccine eligibility expanded to young people between 12 and 15 today.
Matthew Louise of Shelton Intermediate School got his Pfizer vaccine at the St. Vincent's Medical Center Mega Vaccine Site at Sacred Heart University. He has a message for those who haven't gotten vaccinated yet.
Get vaccinated because the more people that we can vaccinate or help is just the sooner we can get COVID over and everybody can go back to normal.
Louise's mother, Nicole, says she's relieved her son got the vaccine.
We are starting to open up. There is still a risk for COVID, as we know there's variants that are popping up here and there. And it's, let's do our part and get vaccinated so we can all be safe and return to normal as much as we can.
Officials say nearly 170,000 children in the state are now eligible for the vaccine. Roberto Rojas, WSHU News.
Governor Cuomo questions the state AG's political motives as she investigates multiple allegations of sexual harassment against him. More on that coming up at First Headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Looking to get the COVID vaccine in our region? Here's the latest on how you can do that.
All residents in New York and Connecticut over 12 can get the vaccine.
Connecticut residents, you can schedule an appointment by visiting ct.gov/COVID vaccine or call 877-918-2224. New Yorkers, you can schedule an appointment using the Am I Eligible app or by calling 833-697-4829.
Connecticut state representatives passed a resolution to expand no-excuse absentee voting. However, the House resolution did not reach the 75% threshold of votes needed to be included in the 2022 ballot. The House will have to revisit the resolution in 2023 before it goes to Connecticut voters. House Democrats say the resolution would make voting easier for all Connecticut residents. Republican lawmakers who oppose the resolution cite voter fraud as their main concern and call it a power grab for Democrats. They say the majority of absentee ballots in the 2020 presidential election were cast by Democratic voters. Democrats say voter fraud cases account for less than 1% of total votes.
A University of Connecticut president, Thomas Katsoulias, has submitted his resignation effective June 30th. Katsoulias sent a letter to the school's board of trustees in March saying he was stepping down. He did not say why he was leaving. The letter made public today indicated he plans to stay at UConn as a faculty member. Katsoulias took the job in October of 2019.
It's been over 2 months since New York Attorney General Tish James began investigating multiple allegations of sexual harassment against Governor Cuomo. The governor first said he was confident in James's ability to be objective, and now increasingly questions her motives. Karen DeWitt explains.
When the allegations, which include incidents of unwanted kisses, hugging, and in one instance groping under an aide's blouse, first became known, the governor was contrite. He denied any wrongdoing, but he said in early March that he did not mean for any of his actions to harm anyone. The governor, after some initial resistance, gave Attorney General James a referral to conduct an investigation. He seemed to express confidence in the fairness of the probe, and he urged New Yorkers to withhold judgment until its outcome.
I will fully cooperate with it, and then you will have the facts and make a decision when you know the facts.
But not long afterward, Cuomo and his aide started calling James' motives into question. After the AG received a referral from the state controller to expand her investigation into allegations that Cuomo improperly used staff to help him write and promote a memoir, senior advisor Rich Azzopardi told the New York Times that both the controller and the attorney general have spoken to people about running for governor. Lately, when the governor's asked by reporters about the probe, his answers often include a reference to the AG's possible political motivations.
I think everybody's aware of politics in Albany and political realities.
In late April, he was asked if he would resign or accept disciplinary measures if the AG concludes that the governor violated the state's sexual harassment laws. Cuomo says he thinks he'll be exonerated.
The report can't say anything different because I didn't do anything wrong.
He's made increasingly clear that he has no intention of leaving office.
I'm not resigning, and I'm doing my job every day.
There's no indication when James might be finished with her probe. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford HealthCare.
Here at WSHU, we think local news is important, and we're glad you think it's important too. Thank you for your support, and thank you for sharing our podcast with your friends.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.